So I'm here with Scott from Earth Crisis Insect, and I'll take this opportunity to say what I've said in numerous other occasions. You guys, Earth Crisis specifically, unbelievably pivotal band for me. Like, I mean, I could gush for hours, but like, you guys were the version of veganism and straight edge that, where prior to you guys, I was in fact vegan and straight edge, but totally disconnected from anything related to that. Because any of those other bands, you know, like Youth of Today or early hardcore, didn't really make sense. I came from metal, and so those bands couldn't play. Like, I just was uninterested in their boring ass songs, and usually heard them and thought, well, why don't these guys learn how to play? Like, yeah. So when you guys came along, I was like, my version of this thing. Like,
yeah.
And so I mean, you guys, and I, you know, over the years, like, I feel like I've evolved with your band, like, and then now being able to, you know, it's been an honor to be able to do stuff with you guys and work
with
you.
Thank you. And I think that there were a lot of people, because I'm exactly the same as you, like, Youth of Today and those bands, I appreciated them after the fact, but all my friends were trying to sell me on those bands when I was younger, and I was like, I like what they're saying. I like the straight edge stuff. Right. I like, you know, I like the vegetarianism and I like all that, but I can't listen to this. Like, right. And I didn't like a lot of it. I didn't like the aesthetic either. I didn't like the jock thing. I didn't like the clean cut. I couldn't relate to that. Right. Those were the kids that I hated in school that looked like those guys.
Right.
You know? And I remember I never put that together until, Nathan from 454 Big Block, like, said that to me, like, years later. He was at this Middlesex show where we had a problem. People will probably know what I'm talking about if they have done any research, but there was an issue at a Middlesex show we played, and 454 played, and he told me years later, he was like, yeah, you guys were the first, like, straight edge band that I was like, oh, these guys, they're not trying to be jocks. They just look like dudes. Like, they're not trying to be clean cut. They're not wearing all the gear that you're supposed to wear, you know? And he's like, and I could relate to you guys. So I think, like what you say, I think Earth Crisis came right around at the perfect time for people like me, for people like you that were like, well, I like all this stuff, but I'm not into this, like, youth crew thing, you know? I'm not really, I can't get with the music. I can't get with the look, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's partly maybe why Earth Crisis kind of got where it did, because a lot of people have said that, like, over years, like, yeah, I wasn't into what straight edge was until you guys came around. And I personally wasn't into it either until we came around. I think that's why we tried to create what we did.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I had people, you know, friends that were into, well, I grew up skateboarding, but I was totally from metal and hip hop. Like, I had friends that I skated with that liked those bands and would be like, oh, well, this is you, you're straight edge. You know? And that's where I did discover through those bands that I was, you know, they played Youth of Today and they played Bold and they played Gorilla Biscuits for me. And I thought, well, this stuff sucks. But that is when I started calling myself straight.
Right.
So I appreciate that they brought that in.
Absolutely.
But I didn't have any, you know, especially like, you know, Gorilla Biscuits. I mean, lyrically, just like childish.
Yeah.
You know, like, my room's a mess and I can't get dressed.
Exactly.
I already can't relate. My shit's together and I'm not I'm not a fucking loser. So
yeah,
I can't relate to what you're saying.
And like, as time has gone on and I understand and I read interviews with those guys, I understand where they're coming from too. But I agree. Like, I felt like it was childish.
Yeah.
and a bit corny. But now, you know, but then when you read an interview with Porcel or somebody, he talks about what the hardcore scene was like when Youth of Today came out. Like, they were trying to be just the antithesis of what hardcore was, which was just fucking drug addicts and crazy people. So they were, like, going far the other way. They wanted to be clean cut. They wanted to sing posse lyrics and stuff like that, you know. So they were just trying to go the 100% the opposite way. Then I guess we were trying to find, like, a middle ground. Like,
right.
You know, we were like, well, we kind of like a lot of these, you know, the grittiness of New York hardcore bands, but we kind of agree more with what you're saying about a philosophy on life.
Right.
So
yeah, I appreciate them for what they brought, but sonically, just like, no, there's no way I could listen to Metallica's Master Puppets and then go listen to, you know, Break Down the Walls and not think, well,
that's funny, because
these guys aren't doing
that. Is exactly what my friends were trying to get me to do. I was nonstop just, I liked, like, thrash metal.
Right.
Liked Sacred Reich. I liked, you know, I liked that kind of stuff. I mean, I love Metallica and the bigger stuff, but I liked some of the obscure like thrash metal bands at the time, like Nuclear Assault and stuff like that.
Nuclear Assault was awesome.
Yeah.
And I saw them with, it was Nuclear Assault and Agnostic Front. And
oh, that's
like,
awesome. Yeah.
Life-changing show.
And like, that was what was so cool about Agnostic Front, too. They were touring with like Obituary, Nuclear Assault, and bands like that, you know. They saw that, oh, we need to kind of branch out a little bit, and we're all playing an extreme kind of music that can sort of speak to each other. But yeah, I just, my friends were, I remember my friend specifically handing me Break Down the Walls, and I was like, all right. And I put it in. I maybe got through like 5 minutes of it, and I was like, "This sucks. Like, right. I hate it. Like, I literally hate it." It wasn't until like, honestly, like I heard Judge, and the Integrity EP, and I was like, "All right, there's bands that are cool. There's straight edge bands that are cool."
Yeah, I love Judge. And, I mean, but that was significantly more aggressive and metallic.
It was
and
it was chrome. It was straight edge Cro-Mags.
Right.
Yeah.
And I loved the Cro-Mags the second I heard it.
Absolutely.
I
mean, that me made
for perfect sense to me.
Yeah. Cro-Mags were along the lines for me with like I lumped them into. I didn't know it was hardcore. Like I lumped it into what I was listening to, like Nuclear Assault and Sacred Reich and bands like that. I was like, oh yeah, Cro-Mags too. They're, I see their shirts right next to these band shirts at the local metal store, you know. So I didn't realize they were hardcore. And I think actually Best Wishes was my introduction.
Oh,
I hadn't heard Age of Coral. I went back and heard Age of Coral and liked it immediately. But
Best Wishes is, I don't like the vocals on that record, but musically that record is incredible.
I love
like,
it.
I've gone back and listened to that. And the vocals aren't unbearable. They're not terrible.
Yeah.
But like, man, all I could think when I hear that is like, if John Joseph was on this, singing the way that he's singing on...
Which he did. There were some songs that he, I guess he recorded, I think. I don't know. You know, who knows with that mess, right? With
the,
by that whole world. But they play... They play the Cro-Mags JM plays Crush the Demoniac, I think, and I think that was a song he wrote lyrically. Oh, okay. So that, I think that's why they play it. So
that record is phenomenal. But Age of Coral is an unbeatable record, and Integrity was unbelievable too. That was one my friend Brian, it was the first time I heard Integrity, and I remember just being like shocked by how good it was.
Yeah.
Like,
You're getting a bonus because I never say these bands' names ever in interviews.
Okay.
I'm never honest about the bands that these bands that influenced me because they turned out to be not very cool people. So I never say anything about Integrity. I never say anything about Cro-Mags because I've grown to know some of them in different ways over the years, and they I swore them off.
Like Integrity, it's like really your beef's like just one guy.
Pretty much.
I mean, pretty much. You guys don't. I can't.
I guess we lump it all into Cleveland. You know,
right? It's Cleveland.
Yeah, but yeah, no, it was really just one guy. But we had before we knew the one guy and had the problem with the one guy, which is all water under the bridge at this point. But they had come to Syracuse and pulled shit and hit, you know, punched some kid and. And it was bullshit. It was a shitty move. So at that point, I feel like most of the kids in Syracuse that had Integrity swore that band off.
Right.
Because they showed up and just kind of slapped some people around. A kid that wasn't worth slapping around, and a child could have slapped him around. And so that put a really bad taste in their mouth. And then after like Syracuse's mouth in general. And then after touring... and getting to know people and things happen. Yeah, it just put the band just kind of like, but the truth of the matter is huge influence on me. Yeah. Huge influence on Earth Crisis. I'll speak for all the band, even though they probably won't want me to, but it would be a lie to say that they were not, at least that first EP for sure, a massive influence on Earth Crisis. And along with Judge and obviously along with Cro-Mags as well. But I mean, anybody that's in a hardcore band was influenced by Cro-Mags and Bad Brains.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know about everybody that's passed through that band, but I can tell you, like, my working relationship with Dwid, which I would cite as definitely tripped into friendship.
Yeah.
He's been an outstanding dude to work with.
Yeah.
And a great guy. And
I never had an issue with him. Like,
for me, he's Integrity.
Like, yeah,
you know, I mean, that's Integrity.
Yeah.
Like, everybody else is, you know. Like,
yeah.
There's different eras of the band that sounded different ways and were different whatever, but, like,
yeah.
The folk, to me, like, that's Integrity. As long as you have Dwid, you have Integrity.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. And he never, I mean, again, like, when I think even when that thing happened in Syracuse, whatever it was, I don't know. I think he was instigating the people that he brought to do that stuff, but I don't think he actually did anything.
Right.
Which I don't know is worse or better. I don't know. But regardless, that's all old shit. It happened.
Yeah.
And it left a bad taste in my mouth for years. But as I'm older now and I look back, and I've sort of even scrubbed it from my memory, to be honest with you. So people ask, like, oh, what were you listening to? And it's been maybe in the last year or so that I was like, I mean, what I was listening to heavily was Integrity and Cro-Mags. Those were bands I was listening to very heavily. So, yeah. You're not gonna, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due, and they're phenomenal bands.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what was the first music you heard that made you, you know, like, not necessarily even the music that made you want to go play music. What's the first thing you heard that just, like, where you realized you were interested, this grabbed your attention, made you realize, I'm interested in this, like...
Musically?
Yeah.
Van Halen, probably. Well, I mean, my mom, very young, like, my mom had me when she was 16, so I grew up listening to a lot of, like, you know, early 80s, late 70s, like, rock music. Like, my mom liked Foreigner, and my mom liked Styx, and my mom... So we had, like, cool, you know, quotes, cool records in the house, and I loved all that stuff. Like, I would listen to her records a lot. So I don't know which one of those, but I remember for me, like, hearing Van Halen and being like, I need to play guitar.
Right.
Like, whatever just happened that I heard, I need to play guitar.
So Van Halen isn't just the music where you were like, I like music. It was like, I like music and I want
to
play it.
Right. That was the moment I knew I wanted to do whatever I heard.
Right.
I liked music. Like, I loved music up until that. I used to sit upstairs and listen to records, like, very young. Like, I remember wanting to put my mom's albums on at, like, 5 or 6. But, yeah, Van Halen was, I was like, I gotta do that, you know? And I remember I was 8 and I took guitar lessons, and I immediately was like, dude, you need to show me how to play that.
Right.
And the guy was like, yo.
down the road.
And, like, oddly enough, ironically, like, so I took lessons for like a year or so, and it was boring. It was, you know, he's teaching me super boring shit. Same old thing that everybody goes through when they want to pick up guitar and they want to do the cool stuff. They don't want to learn all the boring shit. And so I was fading with it. But that guy's band, the guy, his name was Joey, and I don't remember the name of his band, but they ended up going on tour with Van Halen. And he was like, yeah, we're opening for Van Halen for like 2 weeks. And I was like, dude, you got to get me a guitar pick. And he got me a guitar pick. He came back. He had a guitar pick and everything. And I was like, I mean, to me, it was like,
yeah.
What happened?
Do you still have it?
I don't know if I do.
That would be amazing.
It may be. I still have the guitar that I used to take lessons with. So there's a, if I dig it out from wherever it is, there's a chance it may be in the bag. Yeah. But I remember realizing at that time, like, oh, like, this is all very possible. Like, I know this guy, and he's a local guy, and his band just went on tour with Van Halen. And I was, right, like, 8 or 9, so I was like, oh, this isn't, like, a fantasy. Like, you could totally do this. Little did I know, he went on that tour, and probably the band broke up after, and he's, right, probably poor now.
Financially lost his ass, totally. You know? Like.
Yeah, but at the time, 9, you're like, oh.
I could go out on tour with Van Halen.
He's rich. Like, thought if he went on a tour, he was rich. Yeah, he's rich. He's got to be rich. Okay. So
you win too, Van Halen, because if you didn't come with it quick, I was going to embarrass myself and say mine was Corey Hart.
Oh, that's okay.
I bought the sunglasses at night, whatever, yeah, that 7-inch. And I remember that was like the first physical music I bought, and
yeah,
I was very proud of it.
I was pretty lucky because my mom was young. So, you know, my mom, she likes to tell the story that she went and saw Led Zeppelin when I was still in her stomach.
Oh,
you
wow.
know? And so, yeah, I was lucky because my mom listened to, like, kind of cool music, you know, like a lot of the 80s, like, rock music and some of, like, the new wave kind of stuff. But she mainly liked, like, rock music, like Foreigner and, yeah, Styx and the bands I named and stuff. You know, there was a couple kind of embarrassing things in there that I liked, you know, like Huey Lewis and stuff like that, you know. But it was still cool. Like, now that when I look back on it, I'm like, nah, that was cool.
I remember at that age, like, Huey Lewis and the News. It's funny, like, I remember liking it. It's on the radio.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't until, like, later where you start really refining what you like.
Well, I kind of, like, I go through phases. So there's, like, you, when you're young, right, you just like what you like. You don't care if it's cool, it's not cool,
right,
if it fits in this box or it doesn't. And then you go through this maybe short phase, long phase for some people where you like it, but you're like, eh. But now I'm at this phase again where I'm like, I don't give a shit. Huey Lewis is awesome. You know, and, like, Jimmy's a kindred spirit in that, too. Like, Jimmy that plays guitar in Sect as well. Like, so we'll drive along. And I think Huey Lewis is actually one of the bands we've talked about. He's like, dude, fucking Huey Lewis is awesome. And I'm like, it is awesome. You listen to it, they're a great band. The great songwriters, like,
I think a lot of, and Jimmy doesn't, but you have kids, and it's the same for me. Like, I can't remember, you have
two kids, boys.
That's
yeah.
what I thought. The having a kid made me reevaluate so many things. It basically took me back to being a kid,
because
like you leave that behind, and then you start to get like hyper analytical of what you like and really honing things in, and then you're like, I don't like that. And like when you there's that wonder when you're a kid where you just like what you like
yeah.
you said. And having, you know, like having Malcolm around did that for me, especially with like horror movies. I had become like this uber horror snob.
Yeah.
And there was all these movies that I was like, fuck that movie. That's not, you know, like, and then his introduction into, he loves horror. So we start watching horror movies.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you try and start him off light. So,
yeah.
you know, and he's just seeing things. Well, I want to see that. Like, you know, I remember Jeepers Creepers was one for me.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it in the theater and being like, fuck that movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not, you know, like I was too far down the line into like something more brutal. And then he loved it. And as I watched it, it was like watching it through his eyes. Now I love the movie.
Right. You know, and that totally happened to me too with kids. You do. You get back to that phase where you don't care about like whatever it was that guided you, you know, into these like sort of snobby phases of your life, you know, where this band's not cool enough or this movie's not cool enough. And when you like a kid, you're just like, they don't care.
Right.
That's the real test of if something's good or not, because they're just like, if this is entertaining me, I like it. I don't care if it's a movie geared toward girls. I don't care if it's a movie geared toward boys. I don't care what it is. If it's good, they like it.
Yeah, I don't care who recorded it.
Yeah, I don't care who recorded it or
who the director is.
Who played it? Like, if it's this version of the band with that guitar player or this guitar player, they don't care. If it was good, that's good, and they liked it.
That was one of the things that kind of came through with him, where I was just like, kind of was reacquainted with that wonder of childhood, and it's something that I you know, like my wife and I have talked about it, where it's like, it's sad that adults lose that. I'm kidding it back through him, and I just wish that other people would too. Like,
yeah.
just kind of like, whatever. You know, if it's good, it's good, and that's the end of the fucking line. If Huey Lewis is fucking rad, then Huey Lewis is fucking rad.
And then you'll listen to it, you'll be like, you know what? It is awesome.
It's awesome.
Great. Yeah. Well, there's moments too, like, I guess as you get older, you'll be walking through a park and maybe there's a cover band, right? And they're playing something, and then all of a sudden they'll play like a Huey Lewis song, and all of a sudden your ears perk up and you're like, God damn, this song is a lot better than all the other songs I've just heard them play.
Right.
Huey Lewis is awesome. You know, you're back to that, you know. But yeah, no, that was part of the reason, you know, when my wife and I were talking about having kids, that was sort of a thing that was in the yes column, you know, because we were like, well, we've done all this stuff and none of this is exciting for us, but how exciting will it be to take them to do these things for the first time, you know, and show them these things for the first time? It's like, you know, self-centered, I guess, in some ways, because you're looking to reignite that spark that you had the first time, because we're old and jaded and nothing's exciting anymore. But you're like, man, think about like when we get to take, you know, our son to Niagara Falls or something for the first time. The first time I went there, I was like, what the hell is this? You know? And yeah, you look for that. You know, that's one of the beauties of having kids, I think, is being able to see that, relive that through them. You know, like, oh, wow, the world is awesome.
Right.
You know, we hate it. We grow to hate it, you know,
right.
But we see them and we're
like grinds it out.
Yeah, you know, yeah, we're like, you know what? It's actually cool. There's lots of cool stuff. Yeah.
Because he's very much his own person, and he likes a lot of things. When he was really little, he actually, one of the first ones was like My Chemical Romance. He got really bummed out that I said, he was like, do you like My Chemical Romance, Dad? And I was like, no.
Yeah.
And I saw him in the rearview mirror. He looked really upset.
Yeah, he was like, shit.
And I was like, dude, who cares? Like, I was like,
do you like it?
Do you like all this noisy racket I listen to with dudes screaming? And he's like, no. And I was like, but I like it. It's cool. I was like what you like. And so, like, I've actually really enjoyed in movies, comic books, artists, you know, music thing that he loves, but I love watching him just find shit.
Yeah, that's the thing. You just appreciate that he loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah, same. I mean, yeah, there's also, I mean, my son likes all sorts of music that I'm just like, ah, okay.
Right.
I tolerate it. I sit there, I play it on the way to school, whatever. And
every once in a while, something pops up and you're like, hey,
exactly.
That's cool.
Every once in a while, you're like, you know what? These are cool songs. Or they kind of grow on you. Like, you'll hear it later, you'll find yourself like humming it or something. You're like, I guess it might be kind of good.
Yeah.
You know? But,
well, and I don't remember what led us down the he discovered, I guess, Tyler, the Creator, and I was like, oh. And so then I don't like Tyler, the Creator, but I like Earl Sweatshirt. And it's of the same camp. So we had like a little moment driving down the road where I was like, oh, you like that? You might like. And then him and I were driving, you know, driving down the road listening to Earl Sweatshirt. And it was, you know, it was really cool. Like, and then, you know, like, I was like, oh, maybe I should give Tyler another chance. You know, like, likes it. He's pretty cool.
And it's like that with anything, really. Because it's like if two people just enjoy something, you know, like the same thing of music, you can usually find a common ground after, if you really, if you're both passionate about it. Like, you know, if you're both, if you have it, like you're into horror, like if say you meet another, say you and JD talk, you know, JD's the biggest horror snob. I don't even bring up movies. I remember we stopped talking about movies with him.
I have gone silent when he started shitting on movies I love because I was like,
but you guys might be on different pages, but because you guys both have a passion for it, there's probably a lot of common
ground. There's a lot of common ground. Yeah. We have definitely been talking about something, and then he just dives into tearing a movie I love apart, and I'm like,
"Yeah,
he's." I'm gonna let it.
He's very critical. I remember movies in general. I remember him and Carl bickering quite a bit because Carl likes every movie,
right?
Like every movie that ever came out.
That's another problem.
That's another problem. Carl likes every movie that ever came out. Like if it's got an explosion in it, he loves it. If it's blowing shit up, you know, he's into it.
It's great. There was two explosions right in the beginning.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's, I feel like that's his thing a lot of times. But it's awesome that he, again, that he just loves every movie. It's like, that must be so great that you didn't ever get... He doesn't love every movie, and we certainly have, but he likes a lot of movies. Right.
Yeah, he'll leave me voicemails or leave me a quick text, and it'll be like, every movie that just came out and that he loves them.
And TV show.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and TV show. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you know, like, I agree. Like, it's nice to not be so overly critical and to find the joy and, you know, that it doesn't have to be, you know, everything doesn't have to be the fucking Deer Hunter. It doesn't have to be Apocalypse Now.
Sometimes it can just be stupid. And you're right. Just like, but whatever. It made me laugh or whatever, you know, or some dumb movie that you find yourself. Erica, my wife, is always talking about this. She used to stay up late when she was going to college, and she would be up, and she's like, and I would just get into the stupidest shit that was whatever was on, and she's like, and then I'd find myself like crying or something at like the dumbest, you know. And I'm like, but it must have been kind of good in some way for it to like strike a chord with you. She's like, yeah, that I was just so overtired that you know, anything would have done that.
Anything would have put her over the edge of the chair. So what was the that was the music that engaged you and Van Halen got you wanting to play? Like, when did heavy, you know, like, I mean, Van Halen is heavy in its own right, but when did heavy music come in and how did it come in?
I don't know, man. I've tried to actually think about the moment, you know, like, and I guess it was probably through skateboarding, like a lot of people. I mean, I skated, but I mean, it's hard. I remember getting I Shout at the Devil.
Yeah.
And I remember specifically, so I guess that was my first like heavy, you know, it slowly got heavier. It was like AC/DC, Van Halen, Shout at the Devil, you know, Motley Crue. And how I made a leap. I don't know if there was like some kids in the neighborhood that, I think there were some kids on the bus that listened to Metallica maybe. And I was like, that's awesome. I remember them listening to Master of Puppets, I think. And maybe from there, I just started seeking it out. I don't really remember like where I got it, but I just remember like, there was a 6-month period where all of a sudden I was just like into all the big thrash metal bands at the time, like, you know, Slayer and you started seeing all that stuff. It all kind of coincided because like skate magazines, you know, and then, you know, then it was through like those bands that I started getting into like punk, like Dead Kennedys and the Misfits and stuff like that. So I kind of went like a roundabout way. I didn't do the natural progression where you liked punk bands and then you liked metal bands. You know, I kind of liked hard rock and then I like thrash metal and then those bands turned me on to like punk music, and then I went through a phase where I liked all sorts of anything extreme, you know, like, I don't know, I guess it's funny now because there's so many genres, right? And I guess at the time I was crossing all these genres, but yeah, to me it was just like metal, hardcore, punk, like, you know. But I was listening to like I kind of landed on like the crossover kind of bands that were my like my favorite bands, like DRI and The Accused, and that kind of, those were like the bands that I was like, well, I like the punk ethic and attitude that they have, but they sound like they can play their instruments.
Right.
They're professional. There's a level of musicianship here. Right. Whereas like I felt like most of the hardcore bands that my friends were playing me, I was like, this is garbage.
Yeah.
These guys suck. The recordings are terrible. Like, I just couldn't get past a lot of it. And it wasn't, even like bands like Youth of Today, I appreciate them, but I really only like the Disengage 7-inch because I feel like that was a step, so much of a step above all the other stuff they did.
Yeah.
You know, and so I typically am the guy that likes a lot of those bands, like sellout records, you know.
You like the record nobody likes.
Yeah, so. And like even like bands like AFI and stuff like that were kind of coming up when Earth Crisis came up, I didn't really like them. And we had the same sound guy, and so he was always telling us, like, oh, Dave really likes Earth Crisis. You know, you should check out his band. And we listened for a minute, and we were like, mommy, I want a mohawk. I don't know. I'm not feeling it, you know? But then their sellout albums, I heard them, and I was like, oh, my God. And then I became, like, a huge fan, and I've liked everything that they've done since. Like, Sing the Sorrow, I guess, would be their major label sellout album. And that's for me, that's the point where I started liking those bands. And I think typically that's who I am. I'm like, oh, I don't like any of that stuff. I'm definitely not the guy that's like, oh, their demo was the best thing that
right.
I hate that shit.
I do too.
You know, people say that, and I'm like, it is not the. They would cry if they heard you say that. It's not anybody's best thing that anybody ever did. Like, you know,
well,
like,
that's one of those things that comes from that place of snobbery.
It does.
You want to be. It's the elitist.
It's
like,
elitist
I only
bullshit.
Like the demo.
I liked them before anybody liked them. You know, it's like, come on, man.
No, you did.
Yeah, that shit's garbage.
You did. If you heard the demo, you liked it, but you know, you secretly
you could see
liked
something.
Better.
You could
like,
see there was a spark there
right.
that was going to get built into something cool. I get that, but. You didn't. You liked those songs when they became good, not when they did the demo. Right. Like you liked, you know, nobody likes the Master of Puppets demo. You like Master of Puppets.
That is
know?
An attitude that's very much of the, and we've talked about this privately, just you and me hanging out. But like, that's an attitude that's very much of the hardcore scene.
Totally.
Like, the hardcore scene, there's something about it where 90% of the people in hardcore just want to prove to you they've been down since day one to the extreme of, you know, like, buying like old shirts, and then you're like, that shirt's older than you.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, like, it's like that shirt literally was manufactured before you were born.
Yeah, I would say that's that sums up the hardcore scene in a lot of ways. Yeah, that's they want to keep everybody in their back pocket. It's very rare for a band to cross a certain platform in hardcore, because the second that the core audience that got them cool sees that other people are liking them aside from their little niche, then they just shut you down.
Yeah.
And so if you can make that leap where you're like, well, fuck you, go away, and we're gonna go over here now, that's a big move to make, and a lot of bands can't transition that.
Right.
You know?
So, I guess as you started, were you already playing music by the time you started to hear heavy music? Did you start learning before that?
No, or? I think around the time. I think when we heard like. So there was a core group of us in the neighborhood that were all like into the same stuff. We all liked, you know, the Misfits, but we loved Metallica. And, you know, Metallica was probably the biggest influence as far as like playing.
Yeah.
That was how I learned how to play guitar for real. I was like, I gotta play this stuff. And so I just got tablature books, and that's how I taught myself how to play guitar. I just got like Master Puppets, or what I think it was, Master Puppets was the first one. Then I was like, all right, I'm figuring this out. I'm going to learn how to play guitar. And that was how I learned how to play, along with like two other kids in my neighborhood. But we knew we weren't very good. So we would just get together, and instead we couldn't play Metallica songs. We play Misfits songs. So we kind of had this like Misfits cover band thing going on for a while. But yeah, I guess it was like, I wanted to be good enough to play like the thrash metal stuff, but I knew my place. So I was like, no, we're more Dead Kennedys Misfits right now, but maybe we'll graduate.
Right.
We'll graduate to this, which we did eventually.
Were any of the people you were playing with then, I mean, people that you ended up playing, like moving into Earth?
Ian was pretty early on.
Early on.
So, yeah. So it was me and this kid, Tom Lewis, which, man, I could whole podcast about stories about these kids, like crazy stuff. And, man, who was the drummer? Drummer's dad. I can't remember. His dad was a security guard at our school. But anyway, we played first, and then that group kind of moved, you know. But Ian was like basically the next wave. He was doing the same thing I was doing a neighborhood over with his crew.
Right.
And then we joined forces, and we were like, well, who's the best of the crews?
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, oh, well, Ian's really good and Scott's really good. And, you know, so we got together and started doing our own version, and we stepped it up. Then we started doing like, couple like Metallica songs and a lot of Danzig songs and stuff like that. But yeah, and we even like messed around with writing some original songs too.
Okay, so you and Ian are playing together now. How does that end up being becoming Earth Crisis? There's something else in there too. Like you guys.
Yeah. So we did. Okay. So, Ian. So we split off at one point. Okay, we were doing that. Ian was grounded all the time. He was grounded for like, I swear to God, 3 years. And he could only come out on like Wednesdays because he and his brother just kept getting bad grades. So he would like. He would be like, I can only practice on Wednesday. And he would like ride his, I remember his bike over like my house with his amp in one hand, his bass. And he would, it was like snowing. We lived in Syracuse, so it's snowing most of the time. And he would crash. He'd be like, man, I fucking crashed. He's like all wet, you know? And at some point, I think it wasn't enough. Like we wanted to practice more. So there was another group of friends that were the kids that were always giving me break down the walls and shit like that. And I was like, not feeling it. But I liked them. We skated. We were really good friends. And this was Mike Riccardi, who ended up being the first drummer for Earth Crisis, and his straight edge band, and I can't remember what they were called. But this was like, so, and I hadn't really gone to hardcore shows quite yet. And I saw, so these guys were like putting a 7-inch out. And I'm thinking like, man, that's pretty easy, right? Like you could, these guys aren't that great, and they've only been a band for like 6 months, and like they got somebody putting a record out for them. But to me, that was like, unbelievable that you could have somebody put a record out for you. So I started hanging out with them a little bit more, and they took me to like my first hardcore shows. And then that band dissolved, and then we started a band because I was the metal kid, right? So we were modeling ourselves after Zero Tolerance, which is a band from Buffalo, right, which had a metal guy in the band, like one metal dude.
And you were the metal guy.
I was the metal guy. Awesome. I was the long-haired dude in this band. And we were very much modeling ourselves after Zero Tolerance. And again, a band that influenced me, probably the number one band that ever influenced me was Zero Tolerance from Buffalo. I forget about them a lot, but they were like everything. Like that was like what I wanted to be. They were the sickest band I still probably have ever seen live. And sorry, I hit the table again. But so we were modeling ourselves after them, and then that band just didn't work out. And for whatever reason, and then we decided to, Mike and I left, the drummer, and we met up with Ben, who was the first guitar player for Earth Crisis, and we brought Ian in because we were like, oh yeah, Ian's cool, he's a great bass player, let's bring him in. So we started a band called Framework, and we started gaining some traction. Like we played our first show and we got offered people wanted to put our record out and stuff like that, and we were doing well. Like we'd play and people would actually show up to see us, which was different. We weren't just like the opener. Like people wanted to check us out. And Carl had just come off a bad situation trying to do Earth Crisis. The band he tried to do was called Earth Crisis. And so he was like, dudes, I heard you guys are all vegan, heard you're all straight edge, which I kind of skipped. Mike Riccardi is the catalyst for all that. He's the one that got everybody into like, you know, veganism, and he deserves a lot of credit because yeah, he was the guy that was like, you guys should check this out. You know, you should check that out, and took us to shows and showed us literature and stuff. And we were like, yeah, man, it makes a lot of sense, you know? And so Carl caught wind that we were a vegan straight edge band, even though we didn't call ourselves that, but everyone in the band was vegan and straight edge. And he was like, I'd love it if you guys could help me work on these songs that I've been working on. And we were like, okay, sure. And then we recorded, you know, we helped rewrite some of the songs that he had, spruce them up a little bit, and then we recorded, and we just knew, we were like, there's something really here. Like we played like a show with him, because then it turned into, why don't we play a couple shows? Like Carl was just kind of like, you know, right, leading us on, like, yeah, why don't we do a couple shows? And we're like, okay. So we did some shows, and it was obvious immediately. Like we were like, oh yeah, man, there's like something here. We want to put all of our stock here. So we just disbanded Framework and just decided, okay, let's just put all of it into doing this band. And that's why All Out War sounds so much different than, because Carl wrote all the songs on All Out War. That was his like solo project, essentially. Yeah, it was his solo project, essentially. We added some things to him. I mean, we definitely spruced him up. But I mean, to be quite honest, we were half-hearted with it. We were like, yeah, man, we'll help you out. What if we did that? But we weren't like, but then when we decided, hey, we're going to put all of our stock in this, that's when like the demo came. That's when we recorded the demo. And it was clearly a very different, like, we're gonna try to make these songs cool and be a little bit more tight when we play. And because, you know, we were just doing a guy a favor up until that point, until we all committed mentally to
I love
it.
That Carl poached your band.
Yeah. Like, he didn't know. I don't think he really realized, like, you know, he knew a framework, and we were all friends. Like, we knew each other from going to shows. But yeah, I don't think he, I don't know. And that's the weird thing. So there's...
No way. I like the diabolical idea that he's like...
He very well may have, you know, now that I look back. I didn't feel like that at the time, but now
that's
that
the
I look...
That's the genius of it. Yes. He didn't even know.
It very well could have been that. Yeah, knowing him. Yeah. If he was here right now, he might be like, well, I kind of did.
Actually,
yeah.
Guys, yeah. By the way.
Yeah. But so that's the funny thing about, like, you know, you'll see so many different... Not so many. You'll see two different dates for when Earth Crisis started. And... I mean, to me, it was like, because Carl did a band in 89 with a couple other people, and he wasn't the singer, he was the bass player, and that band was called Earth Crisis. So when he joined up with us, we didn't have a name. Like, when
did
we
that band ever record anything?
Never.
That version?
Okay. No, it was a mess. Like,
right.
And the reason that that band broke up was because Carl was trying to write some lyrics. He's like, dudes, I want this band to be like hard. Like, I want to say this, I want to say this, I want to say that. And they were like, you're fucked up. they straight up told him that, you know, they were like, you're fucked up. Like, these lyrics are fucked up. And he came to us with them and we were like, these are fucking awesome. Yeah. Like, we loved it. You know, we love, like, cause at that point we were getting into like Raid, and we loved Raid. I mean, yeah. that, you know, that LP just came out at that around that time. And we were like, fuck man, this band is the best.
Yeah. Raid
you know?
Was awesome.
Yeah. And we loved Vegan Reich, you know? So to us, like, we were like, fuck man, these lyrics are amazing. Yes, we'll do this, you know? But anyway, we didn't have a name for the band. Like, we recorded the All Out War EP, what would become the All Out War EP, but there was no name. And so when we all committed, like, yeah, we want to do this band, we were like, well, let's kick around some names. And we did for like a couple weeks. And somebody was like, dude, I really like the name of your last band, Earth Crisis. That's a cool name. And he was like, yeah, but one of the other guys, that was his name. And we were like, well, let's just go talk to him. And I remember we all drove down, went up and had like a little meeting, and we were like, hey, would you mind if we used that name? And he was like, I don't care at all. So there's like a school of people that are like, oh, that band started in 89. Earth Crisis started in 89, but it really didn't. It was two separate things that we asked permission to carry the name
right.
over. You know, they were very different bands. It wasn't the same thing. It would be as if I said, well, Earth Crisis started when Framework started.
Right.
Because it was essentially the same band.
Right.
I mean, it was more Framework than it was anything else, truthfully.
Did the Framework stuff, because I remember hearing it and seeing it, but I heard it after Earth Crisis mm-hmm. when I saw the versions of that floating around. Did that get released after the fact, or did that actually come out?
It was planned that it was going to be released, but yeah, once we kind of, it got shut down, because once we decided we were going to go toward Earth Crisis, that all just went to the wayside. And Shane, who was the singer, he was like, well, I still want to do all the stuff we said we were going to do. I still want to do these EPs. And we were like, yeah, well, that's cool. We're cool with it. And they played a couple shows with a totally different lineup over the years too. But yeah, I mean, some people cared. You know, some people, it was,
yeah, I remember it had an actual release. I remember seeing a CD, like, and then hearing.
Oh
CD,
yeah. That came out years later.
I remember that was much later.
Yeah. Like, that came out years later.
Cause I didn't even hear.
Yeah. Two EPs came out on like a lot of different labels. It was like, you know, a couple in the States and then Europe, and it was a bunch of different labels. And I think somebody finally just put it all together.
Right. And that Digipak
on that Digipak CD. Yeah.
Cause that was my only. Really? Because I remember it being confusing for me at first, being like, what is this? Like,
yeah. You know, is it a new thing? Or is
yeah,
it,
right. Yeah. I had, because I couldn't just jump on the Google
yeah.
and look it up and be like, oh, this is, you know, like, so I remember being kind of confused by it.
Yeah.
And it not making a lot of sense to me, but. Yeah.
It's funny you say the poach thing, because now that I think about it, Ben was a big poacher too, like who was the original Earth Crisis guitar player, because he poached me from the other band, me and Mike Riccardi from the other band we were doing. He kept telling us every day, like, man, this band is good, like, you guys are good, but there's no heart in it, you know, there's
right.
no heart in it. And he was right, he was absolutely right, but I remember being like, yeah, maybe this guy's right, like, maybe we should, but he was just totally stealing us
right
Yeah, now that you bring it up, yeah, we were poached. Yeah.
You guys were stolen?
Yeah, we were stolen.
You were stolen, and then Carl stole all of you.
Thankfully we were.
No, poached is the wrong word because it makes it sound sinister. And I think
with Ben it was. I really
but
do.
It went in the right direction.
Yes, like, it definitely did. It went in the natural direction that it should have.
If it was of sinister intent, he at least ushered you into the right direction.
Yeah, because even framework, like, Earth Crisis was what we, like, musically what we were, you know, and like Ian and I, that the kind of music that Earth Crisis, you know, the metal and hardcore mixture, that was totally our world. Like, that's, we didn't know that's what we were going to write music like, but the people that we were, that's exactly, we listened to a perfect combination of those, you know, genres of music. Framework was like, us, Ben kind of steered the direction of that band a little bit more, like more melodic, and we liked it. Not that we didn't like stuff like that too, but it was just not so, it wasn't our baby, you know, right. Like it was Ben's, like, no, we want to be melodic and we're going to sing and it's going to be a little emo at times, and, you know, because he was very much more from like a punk emo kind of world. Right. And we were just like these metalhead punk kids, you know.
Right.
So Earth Crisis made a lot more sense, really. And that's probably why it felt so much better when we did it. We were like, oh, yeah, like, this is who we are. Chuggy shit. Yeah, right, Metallica, right. You know, downpicking. Yeah, it's like, yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense. I honestly never realized that Carl wrote All at War. So I always wondered. I was like, how did it, you know, I just assumed that was a natural change into Firestorm, but like now I know this, it makes a lot more sense.
I think we wrote Standby, which is kind of funny because musically you can hear that it's sort of Framework. I think Ben wrote a lot of it. It's a lot more melodic. It's like totally different than anything Earth Crisis has ever written. And it's different than anything on that EP. It was just, it's a lot more melodic. And I think Ben wrote a lot of that. I might have had a minor hand in it.
Yeah,
I didn't have much of a hand in All Out War. I actually wasn't really even in it. They practiced in my mom's basement, but I was like, I was diehard Framework. I was like, yeah, I'm not getting poached, you know, not getting poached. So I would sit upstairs and listen to him practice. And I thought, I was like, I remember thinking that dude's voice is crazy good. Like, his voice is hard as hell.
Carl does not get the credit that's deserved him. I mean, he does, but not to the degree that he should. He's got one of the most distinct fucking voices in metal and hardcore.
And for at the time, nobody had a voice as hard as his. No one. I mean, honestly. And I remember him saying that, like, at a practice. He's like, dude, you should come down. He's like, dude, I'm telling you, my voice is going to be like, I'm going to have like the hardest voice. And I was like, I don't know, you know, like, really, you know, like, that's a bold statement,
right,
you know?
It is.
And then I heard him though. And I was like, holy shit. Like, he really does. Yeah. But I just would sit upstairs, and like one day, I don't know, this flake guy that they had coming in and out playing guitar or whatever, he didn't show up. And they're like, dude, would you just come down? We're like trying to work these songs out. Like, would you come down? And I was like, yeah. And so then I was the dude. And I think the first couple of shows we played, I actually played bass because we were just like, oh, whatever. I'll just play bass. You play guitar, you know, because we thought we could, up until, you know, I don't know, probably like a year into it, we were like, oh, we're just helping this guy out. Yeah, we're just helping this dude out. But then we started being like, yeah, I kind of feel myself wanting to do practice with this more.
I stand by it. Carl was, it was all devious.
It probably was.
You guys don't
know. Well, he was like, who's going to deny this when they hear me? Right. You know, like, who's going to deny me when Carl deserves tons of credit because he had naturally a great voice, but he is also like very critical of himself and worked to be better every record. And you hear it. You know, like, I mean, you know, there's, people are going to say they like one version of his voice better than the other. But to me, it's clearly a natural progression of him getting better at what he does. And I'll stand by right now. He is, I think, the best at what he does. With age, he is better. He has more control over his voice and the stamina that his voice has is phenomenal.
Well, and it's in a sea and the, and it, in this genre of music, or even it spread out over the course of just heavy music, there's a lot of, most voices are fairly forgettable.
Yeah.
It could be interchanged with damn near anyone, you know, especially now with like, you know, and I love death metal and I love black metal, but like, I mean, you switch these people out, you know, there's very few distinct voices. There are, but they're few and far between. Carl's is, you hear it, and it's, that's Carl.
You know, like, who it is.
You know who
yeah.
the fuck it is. He has an extremely distinct voice.
Totally. He does. Yeah, you know right away.
And, you know, again, like, singing that dude's praises, like, cadence and delivery, mm-hmm. like...
No, he's always he's a real musician.
He's not just yelling over a fucking song. Like, yeah. It's to the song. Like, it's to the benefit of the song.
Yeah, he deserves a lot of credit. I mean, because he definitely works on it. It's a craft for him. He's never just been like, you know, oh, I'm going to show up and just spit it out. No, he's very like, is this right? Should I do it like this? Like, he's very much, you know, it, like, trying to craft these songs. And lyrically. Like, I mean, lyrically, I mean, it wasn't just like, I got to write some lyrics. Let me knock these out.
Right.
Months and months of scratching this out, writing that. I mean, he would sit at the practice room while we were writing songs. He had nothing to do yet. And he would be sitting there working as we were working, you know? So it's like, he's not the singer, you know, like in a lot of bands where he's not pulling his weight, you know,
right.
He's putting in as many hours as everybody else for sure.
So at the time that you guys, I mean, there's the demo, I'm assuming that's what got you to Victory.
Yeah.
So at the point that you're recording Firestorm, you are recording it with the intent of releasing it with
Victory? Oh, definitely. Okay. Yeah. Once we decided to be serious, we recorded the song.